muted.
Hello, and welcome to today's Heathrow results for the 3 months to the 31st of March 2016. For the first part of this conference, all participants are in listen-only mode, so there's no need to mute your own individual lines, and afterwards we'll have a question and answer session. I'm now pleased to present our host, Michael Uzielli, CFO. Please begin.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Hello, everybody. And I'm joined here today by Andrew Effiong, and Anne Hearn, both of whom I'm sure are well known to most of you. So I'll get straight into the presentation, which hopefully you can see in front of you, and just starting on slide three. And, you know, in essence, it's been a very strong start to 2016. And just looking at across the three areas, operations, finance and strategy, we continue to see very high service standards and strong operational performance. We are pleased to be voted the best airport in Western Europe but in the Skytrax survey. This is the second year in a row. Incidentally, we were also the best airport terminal in Terminal 5 for the fifth year in a row, and the best for airport shopping for the sixth year in a row. So very good, the recognition of operational performance. From a financial perspective, EBITDA was up 7.3%, driven by a combination of higher revenues up 3.2%, traffic up 2.6%, and strong cost control with costs down 1.8%. At the same time, as expected, our aeronautical charge was down slightly, reflecting the RPI minus X formula. I'll come on to this later, but we should bear in mind that the first quarter benefited from the impact of the extra day of the leap year, and also the fact that Easter was in March this year, whereas last year Easter was in April. So we won't see this outperformance across the whole year. There'll be some tapering across the full year, and we're still expecting our EBITDA to be around 3 to 4% or so up year on year. And then in the quarter, we also raised around £500 million globally, including a £400 million Swiss franc bond. But from a strategy point of view, we continue to, one of our four strategic priorities is delivering excellent customer service. We continue to raise our service standards and invest in operational resilience, whether that's in baggage, colleague training, IT, security, or indeed airfield resilience as well. And from an expansion point of view, we're awaiting a government decision, which we are expecting this summer after the EU referendum result. And today, incidentally, is the government's exporting is great week, and the message that we're sort of impressing on government is that Heathrow is indeed Britain's largest port, but like other aspects of Heathrow, we're increasingly seeing the prime routes are pretty full, so we really need to expand if the UK is going to get the cargo connectivity as well as the passenger connectivity that it needs to prosper in the future. Turning to the next slide, just around our traffic, as you'll see, demand to fly from Heathrow continues to grow. I mean, there are in fact still over 30 airlines who would like to increase their operations or indeed enter into Heathrow. We saw passenger growth 2.6% year on year, helped, as I said, by leap year and early Easter, but that was 1% of the 2.6. Growth across short haul in aggregate, albeit a dip in the UK reflecting Virgin's exit from their Little Red operations, but strong growth on European short haul. And then, of course, strong long haul growth, which is a feature that we've seen for some time now, with this time Garuda Airlines following in the steps of Vietnam and Air China before and moving their operation from Gatwick to Heathrow. You may have seen recently Oman Airways and Emirates bought slots from some other airlines. In Oman's case, $75 million for a single slot pair. And what we'll see is the impact of that on passenger numbers in the second half of the year, because those slots were bought for the summer, which started at the end of March. Increased frequencies on North America, higher seats per aircraft reflected in, for example, we have 25 A380s now operating out of Heathrow, which makes us the equal largest in the world, along with Los Angeles. And for the full year, we're forecasting 75.7 million, which is up 1%, as you can see, slightly less than in the first quarter, because obviously the leap year and Easter effect won't be repeating. And then over on the next slide, another common feature for us is around capacity constraints. Clearly, we are growing well from a passenger point of view. In the last 10 years, we've added 10 million passengers off a similar number of aircraft movements, driven by fuller planes and bigger planes and more seats on aircraft. But clearly, you know, we are starting to fall behind. We're now the sixth in the world in terms of total volume, whereas not long ago we were the third. And we're seeing the growth in, obviously, the Middle Eastern hubs, but also Istanbul on the page here, growing 8.4%. Madrid was very strong growth in the last 12 months, recovery from a significant dip through the recession. But you can see here the challenge that, you know, with our two runways, 98.5% operationally full, there's an awful lot of demand to fly from Heathrow, which would give us the opportunity to open 40 new routes and drive substantial growth for the UK, which is obviously something we're pushing for very strongly, and hopefully we'll get some clarity on that within the next few months. Moving now on to slide six, an update on a familiar slide around our service standards. Continues to be strong. On the top left there, the ASQ score, which is a key customer satisfaction metric across global airports, 4.12, so that makes us the best airport in Europe now in the comparable category, which is the 40 million plus passengers. You can see that in the chart on the right hand side. 81% of passengers now rating Heathrow as very good or excellent. From a departures point of view, we saw punctuality up to 83.7% from 81.4% last year. And a lot of challenges are in punctuality, matters outside our controls, such as weather and air traffic control issues across Europe. But the introduction of things like time-based separation, which we've talked about before, the widening of taxiways, which allows A380s to have a, in particular A380s to have a more flexible approach moving across the airport, all helps deliver improved punctuality. And on the baggage side, we're seeing a good year, big improvement on last year. The Terminal 3 automated baggage facility is now fully operational. All the airlines have moved into it now. We're investing in additional baggage resilience, which really takes the form of additional capacity, early bag stores, etc., in Terminal 5. So we're seeing an improvement, certainly, in what we call the misconnect rate, which is the number of bags per 1,000 passengers, which is now down to 13, an improvement on last year, where we were at 19. So moving into the numbers on page 8, financial highlights. As I mentioned, revenue up 3%, traffic growth 2%, retail income up 11%. So I'll come on to that on the next slide. Lower costs. I'm pleased to see that our actual reported costs are now down year on year by 1.8%, and that's a trend that we should see continue across the year, driving an EBITDA performance of 7.3%, and as I said, slightly flattered by the leap year and the Easter effect. From a balance sheet point of view, the regulatory asset base is broadly flat for the first quarter. This reflects low RPI, which is obviously a challenge for us, and also lower CapEx. As you can see, capital expenditure down 10%. It's in line with our expectations, and we're still expecting to spend around £2.9 billion this regulatory period, 2014-18. But lower CapEx than we've had in the past, offset obviously by depreciation. So we've seen a flat RAB for the quarter, with our debt over that period slightly up. And there's a feature here in Q1 around seasonality, which leads to a slight increase in gearing for the quarter. But as I'll come on to in a few slides' time, our gearing at 85.7% is pretty much exactly in line with where it was at the end of Q1 2015. Moving on to revenue. Overall revenue up, so on slide 9 now, overall revenue up 3.2%. Aeronautical revenue up 1.8%, combination of 2.6% traffic growth, offset by the lower yield. The RPI in last year in April was 0.9%, so we were always expecting to see a reduction in the allowable yield, and indeed that's what we're seeing in the numbers. So 0.8% down, giving a 1.8% net growth in aeronautical revenue, and very strong performance in retail income, where total income is up 10.6%, retail revenue per passenger up 7.7%, and we're seeing the effect now of the investment that we put in to retail, especially in Terminal 5, in the sort of luxury offering there with Chanel and Louis Vuitton and other such stores now fully open. We're seeing the benefit of that in terms of year-on-year retail revenues. And then car parking, where again we opened a business car park in Terminal 5. We now have, I think it's 7, maybe it's 8 different types of car parking products, and we're seeing a continual improvement in car parking revenues as progress. And all this is absolutely in line with the projects we put in place to deliver the target across the settlement period of 270 million of additional commercial income, and our focus continues on those retail and services type investments, but also working with our airline customers, which is not something we've necessarily done so much in the past to help fill the 22 million empty seats that we see out of Heathrow. So although we are operationally full, there are obviously still empty seats, and there's an opportunity for us to work to mutual benefit with our airline customers. So we're working on that and also working on rail promotions, because there's clearly spare capacity in Heathrow Express too. So those are two areas of commercial focus. In terms of costs, we have, I think, a strong story on costs at the moment. On slide 10, our operating cost per passenger is now down 4% year-on-year, so a combination of absolute cost down 2% and then 2% passenger growth. We're seeing the benefit of the initiatives that we put in place and have been putting in place over the last couple of years, seeing the full run rate of that, so whether that's the closure of Terminal 1, for example, the efficiencies in the workforce, quite a lot of investment has gone into automation, reducing headcount in security, also new terms and conditions for new starters, which are around 30% cheaper than existing terms and conditions, big changes to defined pensions, which took effect from 1st of October last year, so we're now seeing those year-on-year benefits, and energy savings. Lower consumption, we have a big program of initiatives around energy demand management, so that's reducing and containing energy, especially electricity consumption, but also, of course, we're seeing the benefits of lower commodity prices. So overall, we had our target of 600 million, which is our cost-saving target, equivalent to the 270 million of commercial income target, and we've delivered or banked, if you like, over 450 million of that. So we have plans in place to close the gap to 600. We've now renegotiated all of our major contracts, whether that's baggage, air traffic control, some of the electricity distribution, etc. The major contracts have been renegotiated, and we should be seeing some good savings coming through. And we've recently agreed a pay deal with our unions for the majority of our colleagues, which gives us certainty over our pay for the next 3 years until the end of the queue, actually. So when you look at this, our overall cost should be reducing by 3% this year. And we have also been investing some of these savings in resilience, which I mentioned earlier, key areas such as IT and baggage, to make us a more kind of resilient operation so we can withstand shocks and disruption, and also training, which is focused around customer service, especially in for our frontline colleagues. So in terms of just a couple of slides on cash flows and debt, similar picture on slide 11 has been shown for a couple of years now, where our operating cash flow of 332 million for the quarter is pretty much, well, in fact, slightly more than covering capex and interest. So really the capital raising has been restricted to maturities and refinancing. In this particular quarter, it's slightly more negative, as I mentioned, because of the seasonality of coupon payments and revenues and the like, and this is something we saw in Q1 as well. And you can see on the next slide that the gearing at all levels actually is pretty much bang on where it was a year ago. So notwithstanding the low inflation, which clearly means that our RAB doesn't grow as much as we would have liked, we are somewhat hedged for that. But we keep our 5% buffer to our covenants and trigger levels to guard against these risks. And I'm pleased to say that we're managing to keep gearing flat in a difficult macroeconomic environment. From a financing point of view, as I said earlier on slide 13, we've raised £500 million since the beginning of this year, including a Swiss franc bond, a 16-year Class A private placement, and some Heathrow Finance funding as well. We had a £300 million bond mature, which we repaid at the end of March, which was a coupon of 12.45%. So I think that dates back to 1991, so it's a sign of the change in times. And our expectation for funding for the remainder of this year is somewhere under £1 billion. Just to summarise on the financials, the outlook, EBITDA forecast 1665 for growth of around 3% on last year, with revenue growth of 1 and cost control of 3. And as I've said a few times now, the 7% growth in Q1 will naturally reduce over the next 9 months, reflecting the impact of Easter and the new year. And just to wrap up on slide 16, we talk a little bit more about the strategic agenda and the key initiatives across our four strategic priorities around colleague engagement, customer service, financial performance and expansion. I've talked about most of the initiatives on the left-hand side, which we've delivered. In terms of what we've got to look forward to, well, the Queen's 90 today, and Heathrow is 70 this year, I think in June, July this year. So that's obviously an important anniversary for the airport. We'll be making the most of that. We're introducing flexible benefits for our people, including things like salary sacrifice. We're running our second Midnight Marathon. We're a diamond sponsor for the Duke of Edinburgh Award Scheme, and there's quite a good documentary coming out on ITV about the airport, which I think will show what a great job our people do in terms of keeping the airport running. In terms of customer service, I've talked about the resilience investment that's a very important part of our capital program, upgrading the taxiways, the baggage systems. It's all about keeping the airport as punctual and efficient as possible in an environment where it's increasingly challenging. We're also started the work on what we're calling T5 First Class Direct Access, which will be a big improvement for British Airways premium customers. And we are in the middle of installing e-gates in Terminal 3 and Terminal 4. So I think it'll be 20 more e-gates, and I think we'll have 50 e-gates across the airport. Financial performance, I've talked earlier about the investment we've made in Terminal 5 retail and other aspects of the airport. We're refreshing now the food and beverage, and if you've been in Terminal 5 recently, you'll see some hoardings around near Starbucks and things like that in T5, and that's us investing in the food and beverage offering, so having previously done the luxury offering. We're in the middle of refurbishing Terminal 4 departure lounge as well. And then on the cost side, we'll continue with efficiencies that I've talked about earlier to drive performance there. And finally, on expansion, as I said, we are expecting government to give its views and make a decision in the summer. We have appointed four what we call program client partners, who are the people who we would work with on expansion. So we're moving quite early to secure the best people to deliver this. We're working on architect concepts and really just focusing our efforts now on ensuring that all the right decision makers are fully appraised of the facts and that really the need that we strongly believe that to secure the economic future of the UK, only Heathrow can deliver what Britain needs. So that's really the summary. Mark, if you're there, we can turn it over to Q&A if there are any questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask your question. If you find it's answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel. So once again, that's 01 to ask a question, or 02 if you need to cancel. There'll be a brief pause now whilst we register your questions. Okay, we have our first question. It comes from Jean-Luc Picard of BNP Paribas. Go ahead, your line is open.
Hello. Hi, Jean-Luc.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon. I have just a couple of quick questions. First of all, on revenue growth, there was obviously a strong growth in retail in the first quarter. What should we expect for the rest of the year? Could we extrapolate this trend in terms of growth rates? And also in terms of issuance, I know there is not a lot of issuance to be done in this year. You said less than 1 billion. But what should we be thinking in terms of future issuance in the dollar market, please?
Future issuance in the dollar market. So what I might do on the second one is hand it over to one of my esteemed colleagues to talk about. But on the retail income one, we are seeing strong performance. I think for the full year, I'm expecting net retail income per passenger to be slightly lower because obviously the 8% was helped by the 10%. Sorry, was helped by leap year and Easter. But I'm still expecting to see sort of 6-7% growth across the year in terms of retail income per passenger. Obviously, that's offset in the revenue line by aeronautical revenue, which will be probably flat or maybe even down slightly, notwithstanding the passenger growth, because the tariff may be down by slightly more than passenger growth. But we're not changing anything from our original guidance back in December, but that's a combination of retail up maybe 7%-ish and aeronautical down down and maybe a small amount. Obviously, aeronautical is much bigger, so the net impact on revenue is maybe sort of 2-3%-ish. If that helps on that one.
Thank you.
On the dollar issuance, I think Andrew's moving towards the microphone, so and it was a question specifically about sort of future issuance and maybe the dollar market, wasn't it?
Good afternoon. It's Andrew F. Young here. Yeah, I mean, as Michael already outlined, we expect to be issuing the balance of this year less than £1 billion. I think as ever, we will be looking to be issuing at the relevant parts of our capital structure. And also in terms of, for example, Class A in particular, currency selection is, will likely be driven by our views on things like relative value, building out our curves in different currencies to the extent we don't have that already, and duration. So I think it's very early to say that we'll be looking at the U.S. dollar market. I think right now, if you're asking a question, if you had a choice, would you issue in U.S. dollars? I think the answer would be no. Because we don't have the confidence in the relative value position of the U.S. dollar versus other options available to us. So hopefully that addresses your question, Jean-Luc.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much, Andrew.
Thank you. Once again, if there are any further questions on the line, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now. Once again, any further questions, please dial 0 and then 1. Okay, Michael, that seems to be the only question on the line, so I'll hand back to you for the closing comments.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Well, thank you, everybody, for dialing in. It's obviously, we're pleased with the results. It's early in the year, but so far, I think it's a strong start, and we feel like we're well-placed for the rest of the year. Obviously, we'll all be looking out for news on expansion, and we've got the EU referendum and to look forward to as well. So that's from a Heathrow point of view, I think we're performance is strong across finance, operational, customer service, and we're continuing to focus on just delivering our plans going forward. So thank you for dialing in, and obviously any questions, we're very happy to take them outside of this call. Otherwise, we'll be back to present the half year results. Thank you very much.
This now concludes the call. Thank you all very much for attending. You may now disconnect.